Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadeen. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. Coming up, a Kansas City after-school program is creating a space for kids to express how they're feeling and support each other through hardships.
Why are we pushing the standard that you have to go to school and you have to get good grades and you have to manage your emotions, but you don't have a place to learn how to manage your emotions?
We'll take a look inside the Save a Life mentorship program. Plus, a community orchestra to give doctors, nurses, and dentists a place to play classical music has been going strong for more than 60 years.
Everybody comes from different backgrounds, but we all come together to make this beautiful music, and our conductor tries really, really hard to push us to the next level.
We'll hear from members of the Medical Arts Symphony of Kansas City. But first, some headlines. Missouri's legislature has approved a bill to stop construction of a landfill in South Kansas City. KCUR's Savannah Holly Bates reports it comes after more than a year of disputes over landfill construction near Kansas City's border.
The bill would prohibit a landfill from being built within a mile of another city unless they approve it. This ends the more than a year-long fight to stop a landfill from going in South Kansas City, close to a Raymore subdivision and schools. Last week, Raymore approved a nearly $4 million deal with the landfill developer to buy some of its land and restrict what can be built on the remaining property, contingent on this legislation passing. The bill heads next to Governor Mike Parson's desk.
The Kansas City Council is scheduled to discuss the future of its Zero Fare Transit program today as it considers renewing its contract with the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority. The program has allowed people to ride the bus for free since 2020. The KCATA faces a more than $20 million funding shortfall within the next year and has studied how much money bus fares would bring to the agency. Chad Onyawa is a member of Climate Action Group Sunrise Movement KC and a frequent bus rider.
Zero fare has just made riding the bus a lot more of a no-brainer. It makes it really simple getting around, especially if you know, like, the bus routes and where they're going.
Kansas City's proposed contract with the KCATA is nearly $71 million. That money comes from two sales taxes that pay for public transit. The independent school district would need voter approval to continue its four-day school week under a bill headed to Missouri Governor Mike Parson's desk. KCUR's Jody Fortino reports.
The bill requires school districts located in larger cities and counties to receive voter support starting in 2026 in order to adopt or continue a four-day school week. Independents adopted the shorter week this school year to attract more teachers. Missouri State Representative Aaron McMullen is a Republican from Independence. He said his constituents didn't feel heard before the switch.
We're trying to make sure that the community comes together and makes a decision as a whole instead of just the school boards.
A district spokesperson said they intend to go to voters during the 2025-2026 school year, and it will cost the district about $145,000 if it's the only ballot issue.
We'll be back after this.
It's Friday night. What places are you heading to for post-work happy hour? Tell us. This podcast is making a best of the best list and needs recommendation for happy hour menus at restaurants in KC. Text us at 816-601-4777. That's 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
Middle school teacher Alana Washington knows how much trauma her Kansas City students experience on a daily basis. After a sudden family tragedy, Washington started a mentorship program at the Kauffman School, where students can find a home within themselves. Rita Hanch of NPR's Next Generation Radio reports this story.
Raise your hand if you want to introduce yourself. And when you introduce yourself, like, don't be trying to play shy. Remember, you're supposed to be being yourself, so I want the most overdramatic I'm that girl introduction ever.
My name is Alana Washington. I am a servant of God. I am a woman of God. I am the founder of Save a Life Mentorship. My mission in life is to be a teacher and to teach people the word of God, to teach people how to be comfortable within themselves and have a home wherever they go. I want them to build their own relationships. So whether that's like, I want to be a Christian, I'm Muslim, I am agnostic, meaning I don't believe something until I see it. I want them to figure out their relationship with God. February 8th, that's when my brother passed to suicide. And in that moment, honestly, like, my world was just shaken. And it wasn't a shock because my brother dealt with mental health, and that wasn't his first attempt either. But it was the one that went through. And at that point, it just, my family's so close-knit, and that's what was the hardest, because we felt like, what could I have done? But at that moment, I knew it was nothing. That was his story. And at that point, I didn't really know how to process. I was just honestly stuck. So then that's when I called my prayer partner, and I was like, I can't get out of bed. And she's like, you have to get out of bed. When you go to school, the way you help those kids, that can't stop. You need to use this as a testimony. And then that's when I was like, save a life. So the mission of Save a Life, one, is to promote suicide awareness, as well as social and emotional learning and a relationship with God.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Most of my children are African American because we pull from underprivileged areas. Like, the Kauffman School literally pulls from 63rd and Paseo and on. It's even more important because in our households, expression of feelings is not encouraged. Death, honestly, is so prevalent in their community because these communities don't get the services that they need. They don't have a place where they can come talk. But you gotta go to school and get good grades. And it's like, okay, I gotta go to school and get good grades, but my brother just died. I have to go to school and get good grades, but I don't have food to eat at home. I have to go to school and get good grades, but I don't have a good relationship with my mom. I don't have anybody to talk to. And it's like, why are we pushing the standard that you have to go to school and you have to get good grades and you have to manage your emotions, but you don't have a place to learn how to manage your emotions? We go on walks, we talk about health and diet. I just want them to understand that their life is precious and there's ways to cater to yourself to where you can live a better life and be happy and joyous. So I think that that's what home is. What makes you feel good? What makes you feel grounded? Focus on that, and then the more you water the positive, the more you water your home, whatever that looks like to you, you'll be at peace.
Rita Hanch of NPR's Next Generation Radio brings us this dispatch from Washington. That was Alana Washington in a story reported by Rita Hanch as part of NPR's Next Generation Radio project. It's a one-week training boot camp that pairs emerging journalists with professional mentors. Learn more at kcur.org/nextgenradio. For more than six decades, one Kansas City community orchestra has given amateur musicians in the healthcare profession a place to perform. KCUR's Julie Denichet reports that for many doctors, nurses, and medical students, the music can be therapeutic.
Medicine is a demanding profession, says University of Kansas medical student Liam Carroll. And there's a lot of pressure to excel.
It is very intense. I've always found that music, especially for me, is something that I can really turn my medical brain off, let it rest, because you could not sleep for a week and you would still not, you know everything that's going to be on that test. And so just having passions outside of medicine and studying, I think, are incredibly rejuvenating.
Lucky for Carroll, one of the oldest medical orchestras in the country gives medical professionals and students in Kansas City a chance to tune out of medicine and flex their musical muscles.
Having that time away and kind of really diving into my passion makes me, when I go back to studying, maybe have like a bigger picture idea that, okay, I'm more than, you know, this next exam, I'm more than, you know, the grades I have right now, or like how I'm feeling about this content. It kind of reminds me that, oh yeah, there's a lot more that I have to offer, that the world has to offer, that it's kind of outside of medicine.
Okay. All right, Brahms, all the way through, all the repeats, all the notes, all the everything.
For people like Carol, a lifelong violin player who's on the symphony's board of directors, the group is a way to keep playing and be a part of an orchestra again.
Being in a community orchestra where the only pressure is to make as good of a product as you can, I think that makes you relax and appreciate the music more.
Music director Steve Lewis conducts the Medical Arts Symphony of Kansas City. Despite the name, the group welcomes professionals from all fields. Lewis, who's led the group for 8 seasons, says each musician brings a different skill set to the ensemble.
I want to make sure that everyone is engaged with the programs that we do. So some pieces are going to be things that I know the orchestra will perform really well without a lot of rehearsal, and some things I know we're going to have to dig pretty deep and work really hard.
Apart from giving more people more ways to participate in music, Lewis is working towards a larger goal for the ensemble.
The goal is that as we progress through this, there will be more repertoire that is more approachable, and we can go on to more challenging things.
For oboe player Robin Onickel, playing with a group is about returning to a lost love, music.
Everybody comes from different backgrounds, but we all come together to make this beautiful music, and our conductor tries really, really hard to push us to the next level.
When Onickel's not leading the oboe section, she's head of the Department of Dentistry at Children's Mercy Hospital.
I would say 10 years ago, I still had my old oboe, and I thought, like, I should go back to it. And then I realized how much I really miss playing the oboe.
And it's not just the playing. Onickel says performing in front of an audience gives her something to strive for.
There was one little spot that is a very awkward fingering, and I spent probably hours going over it, getting it exactly the way I needed it to be, and it goes by in a half a second. You know, it's like I spent hours on it. I mean, it feels like you've achieved something.
All that hard work is paying off in some measure. The Medical Arts Symphony will expand its scope with this next concert. The symphony will introduce a new chorus, singing Schubert's Mass in G. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Julie Deniche.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadeen. This podcast is produced by Anna Schmidt and KCUR Studios. It's edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. To read Rita's story about Alana Washington and Julie's story about the Medical Arts Symphony, visit kcur.org, where you can find more local news from Kansas City's NPR station. If you're a fan of our show and want to help us out, leave us a review. It really helps us reach new listeners. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.